I have a few friends who are Catholic priests. We went to high school together, and they really wanted me to become a priest too, but I told them, you know, poverty, chastity, and obedience just don't have a whole lot of appeal to an 18-year-old male. But we keep in touch, and as we have all kind of grown a little bit long of tooth, we get together every now and again, or we do a Zoom meeting or a conference call, and we just kind of share life together, and we realize that there is so much more that unites us than there is that divides us. And one of my buddies told a story of a deacon. Now, in the Roman tradition, you become a deacon before you become a priest. Usually it's for a couple of years or many, depending upon how long you want to remain a deacon before you take your final vows. And there are some people who remain deacons all their lives. They become what's called a permanent deacon. And those of you who are elders, there's no such thing as a permanent elder. Once you're an elder, you're always an elder, but you're not always on active service, for which the people of God say hallelujah, and all the elders do. So anyway, one of my buddies was talking about a friend of his who had a deacon serving under him, and the deacon had been assigned to preach on Good Shepherd Sunday. And this was a fairly young deacon, still idealistic and imaginative, and hadn't had his rough edges worn off by the church yet. And so the deacon got up there, and at the proper time of the liturgy, he offered the prayer for the homily, as they call it. And then all of a sudden, he disappeared. He went back into the sacristy, and to everybody's amusement and horror, he came out with a lamb over his shoulder as an illustration of the Good Shepherd. And the lamb was docile and happy to be there, and he began to preach his sermon. And then all of a sudden, the lamb became not quite so docile. You know, there's an old expression, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Yeah. And the lamb did that. You notice how gently I'm going through all these details. And it got all over the priest, the deacon's vestments, and down his arm, all over his hands. And, well, you get the idea. It was a memorable sermon, but not for the words expressed. And oddly enough, no one wanted to receive communion from the deacon. Martin Luther, one of the great figures of the church, one of the early theologians of the Protestant Reformation, he used to always have his students come over to his house for a meal. And his little baby came up to him as he was a toddler, about 1 or 2 years old, and asked to be up in daddy's lap. And Martin Luther reached down and picked him up and put him in his lap. And they continued the conversation. And then all of a sudden, Martin Luther felt something wet in his lap. And he said to his students, God loves us so much, and we love God so much. But sometimes we do to God what my son has here done to me. You see, the lamb and the son are kind of connected here. We do treat God poorly sometimes in spite of our love, and sometimes we do it without even knowing it. We fall from the high expectations which we have of ourselves. And God? Well, God still picks us up like that sheep, and God still carries us on his shoulder, and God still loves us even when we do something unspeakable. You see, that's part of loving sheep. you're going to be cleaning up after them, and you do put them over your shoulder at your own peril, but that never diminishes the love. I love this passage here when combined with the 23rd Psalm because it is so dynamic and illustrative of the paths we are on along with the Good Shepherd. That 23rd Psalm is always one of my favorites, and I think it was an act of providence that we now live in Blue Ridge and we live on a road called Still Waters, and we call our home beside Still Waters. And I like to think that our home is a place of peace. Our home is a place of refreshment. And we even have a downstairs apartment. And every now and again, we have friends over who are in need of rest and refreshment, still waters and green pastures. How many of you ever read The Hobbit? Raise your hand. Come on, there was more of you than that. Yes. Do you remember in the woods, the great woods, there was the home of the elves? And it was called the Last Homely House. And it was where people on great adventures would come and they would be ministered to by the elves. They would be refreshed, they would be strengthened, they would be provisioned to go out from that place into whatever marvelous adventure they were attempting. And of course, if you remember hobbits, they don't like adventures at all. But there Bilbo Baggins was, and there Frodo was, and all those characters. Now, if you've never read The Hobbit, I want you to read it at some point in your life before you are promoted to glory, okay? It is well worth the read because it has the undertones of this gospel lesson and the 23rd Psalm. And yes, that first letter of John, love one another. Be on the adventure of life with each other. Look forward to those moments when you do lie down in the green pastures and you do go to the still waters and you are led by the Good Shepherd. I want you to remember that the path to the green pastures and to the still waters, the path is where the action takes place. The journey is where the love is developed and shared. The path is where we learn to have faith in our shepherd. Sheep are always on the move because the green pastures, well, they just don't stay that way too long when the sheep are munching. And the still waters, well, I don't know if you've ever seen what happens to a pond when sheep and cattle and other things go for a drink. It gets pretty muddy pretty quickly. And so there is always the movement to another green pasture, another still waters, led by the Good Shepherd. The path to the next refreshment spot is the path we are constantly on. And we learn to trust the Good Shepherd. Why? Because he does take risks for us. He does lay down his life for us. In our gospel lesson today, 8 times Jesus says, I lay down my life. Now there is a bit of an interesting analogy there. When the sheep come to the fold at night, the fold was either made of rocks or of bits and pieces of wood, and it was usually circular in shape, and all the different flocks would come in. And then the head shepherd, the senior shepherd, if you like, he would physically lay his body in front of the gate for two reasons. First of all, the sheep would not step over him. Sheep are loath to step over anything that's in their way. They really prefer a flat, straight path. So that keeps the sheep in the fold. And secondly, if a threat comes to the various flocks, the head shepherd is there to defend them. When Jesus says, "I lay down my life," that analogy was very familiar to the people of his day. Jesus brings all of us into the corral, and then he lays himself down. Is it lay or lie? I don't know. I was an English major, but I'm getting old. He lays down at the entrance to guard and to protect. What a marvelous illustration of God's love for us. Jesus says, guess what? You're not the only sheep of the flock which flies in the face of some people of my profession who are sure they're the only ones that are going to make it to paradise. I have a feeling they're going to be so surprised by who is there rather than who isn't. Jesus says there are other flocks, other sheep, and they belong to my flock too, and I got to go and get them and bring them in. Which means that that heavenly corral is going to be quite the marvelous spot. Because Jesus doesn't just come for us middle, upper middle, and higher class white folk. He comes for all the sheep. And it's going to be a marvelous, marvelous reunion of the souls when we're all gathered in that great corral, when we all share that same banquet. I have a hard time imagining a big heavenly banquet in the middle of a sheep corral, but I'm going to leave the details to God. After all, I'm just in sales, not management. The good shepherd loves the sheep. Loves the sheep beyond our wildest imaginings. And even, he says, when one sheep wanders off, I'm going to go get that sheep. Which says a lot about us. We sheep are prone to wandering. And indeed, all sheep kind of are. Sheep are not the brightest animals in the world, which I can certainly identify with. People ask me, why don't you want to go ride a horse? And I said, first of all, whenever I get on a horse, it turns around and looks at me and says, one at a time, please. Second of all, I am nervous when I'm around anything that is bigger than me. Which thankfully puts me on good terms with most of the world. And I am pretty sure that when it comes to comparing the intelligence of a horse with mine, well, I may come up on the shorter end of the stick. Sheep are prone to wander. They're not the brightest things in the world, and they tend to get into trouble. And they have to respond to the shepherd who is their leader. One thing about sheep, though, is they have a marvelous and acute sense of hearing. They can hear things you and I cannot. But they also know the voice of their shepherd. When daylight would come and it was time to let the flocks out to their different place, each shepherd would call his sheep, and they would respond to his voice and to his voice alone. That is us. We know the voice of our shepherd because it is ingrained into our souls. It is there in our psyches. We know the voice of Jesus Christ. We don't always respond to it, but we do always know it. And eventually, he gathers us all together. Yeah, we're just sheep of the flock. We are nothing but garden variety sheep. And I take a lot of comfort in that. Sometimes I tend to think more of myself than I should. Sometimes I tend to want to rest on my synthetic laurels. Sometimes I want to sit back and say, well, I've done pretty good. I can sit down and rest now and enjoy retirement and life. Yes, but then the shepherd calls. Or Vicky speaks. She says that I am humble with every good reason. I live that. Just a garden variety sheep, that's what I am. In fact, that's what all of us are. No matter who we are, what we've done, what we've accomplished, we're just garden variety sheep listening for the voice of the shepherd to guide us along whatever path he may choose to the next spot of green pastures and still waters. Let us pray. We are, O Lord, your sheep. Help us to remember that in that we are both privileged and burdened. Help us to remember that we are of your flock and that we are called to listen for you, but also to care for each other. For in many ways we are shepherds also, stewards of each other's joy and well-being. So help us to listen for you and to follow your call wherever it may lead. Through the name and the power of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Amen.